Nu är det dags för ett oemotståndligt möte med The First Lady of Song, Ella Fitzgerald. Damen med den sammetslena rösten och den perfekta fraseringen. Här är en nygjord dokumentär som innehåller en hel del unikt material om och med den stora sångerskan. En hyllning som också får fungera som avslutning till sommarens musikserie Made in USA.
Ska vi?
Ja, okej. Okay. Get a taxi. Send a letter to my mummy on the way. I dropped it, I dropped it, I dropped it.
Yes,
on the way I dropped it. A little girlie picked it up and put it in her pocket. She was trucking on down the avenue with not a single thing to do.
She went peck, peck, pecking all around. When she spotted it on the ground,
she took it, she took it, my little yellow basket. And if she doesn't bring it back, I think that I will die.
Swing. She was a natural swing. She could naturally swing. She was the queen of swing. Every singer who came after Ella adopted what she, her standard, and her standard was the highest.
Oh, why was I so careless with that basket of mine? That itty bitty basket was the joy of mine. Basket, basket, I lost my yellow basket. Won't someone help me find my basket and make me happy again, again?
Was it red?
No, 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 no.
Was it green?
No, 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 no.
Was it cerise?
No, no, no. Just a little yellow basket. A little yellow basket.
Ella Fitzgerald recorded A Tisket, A Tasket in 1938 when she was 21 years old. The song went to number one on the hit parade and stayed there for 10 weeks. Suddenly, Ella was famous.
I listened to my voice then, and it sounds, well, it sounds like what I was, a little girl. And my voice was so thin and small. And I'm grateful for those thin, small, childish voice, because without that, nothing could have happened.
But I'm feeling so sad. I long to try something I've never had. Never had no kissing. Oh, what I've been missing. Lover, man, or where can you be?
Divine. I mean, it can't get better than that. It'll never be that good again. It just won't. It's not available.
She was the best. She was the best there ever was. Amongst all of us who sing, she was the best.
And try.
Lover, man. This was the only place that any musician would want to come to is New York, because at that time, everything was in Harlem. You know, if you thought you could play trumpet and come to New York, they had somebody over here could make you go back home and study some more.
When the bands got up on those bandstands and played music, well, naturally the music emanated out of the ballroom into the street. So you could always hear music on the streets of Harlem. That music that was coming in was called swing. And that's what Ella came into.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do-a, 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 do-a. It don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is sing. Do-a, 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 do-a. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hot. Give that rhythm everything you've got. Don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do-a, 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 do-a.
You had visions of not being a singer. You were going to be a dancer. Is that right?
Right.
Tell me about that.
Oh, you really want to hear that?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
It started back in my hometown in Yonkers. Mm-hmm. And I was what they call the, you know, the greatest little dancer in Yonkers.
In fact, I was so surprised when she sang that I couldn't believe she had a voice like she has, because she always liked to dance. Every time you turn around, she'd say, come on, let's try this, and let's try that, and let's try that. It was always dancing.
What kind of dancing? I mean, you know.
I used to try to do this with a man called Snake Hips. And I used to try to dance, and everybody said, like, I was real skinny, of course, don't you forget now.
Snake Hip Tucker. Yeah? She used to like that. She was crazy about that type of dance.
Snake Hips Fitzgerald.
Snake Hips Fitzgerald, that was
absolutely
me.
Yeah.
Right.
I could see why they called you Snake Hips. Oh yeah, absolutely. What constitutes your choice of songs?
Most of the time, I like pretty lyrics because I feel that you can sort of tell a story, you know. And sometimes when people are in clubs or something, and a lyric can bring back memories of something.
Don't mind telling you in my humble fashion that you thrill me through with a tender bash. When you said you care, imagine my emotion. I swore then and there permanent devotion. You made all other men seem blind. Just you alone filled me with awe's wonderful, it's marvelous. You should care for me, so nice, paradise. It's what I love to see.
Ella was born in Newport News, Virginia in 1917. She moved to Yonkers, New York with her mother and stepfather, and her half-sister, Frances, was born there in 1923. Ella entered school and made friends easily.
I was really a tomboy. I mean, they used to have to get after me because instead of going to sleep or resting like a young lady, I'd be out playing baseball or something. And they would say, you gotta stop that. You gotta act like a young lady.
I wanted to be a dancer, and I ran away from home. And
But I got out there and I got hungry and I was glad to get back home and I was glad when my mother whipped me. Because I was just so glad to know that I had a home to come to. A warm bed and, brother, that was it. My mother had a very beautiful classical voice. She used to sing real high. I don't think she ever really did too much of it. They tell me that my father was a guitar player, but I don't know because I never met him.
Her mother died suddenly in 1932, leaving Ella with her stepfather.
I sensed that he wasn't kind to her. You could sense what was going on, you know, from her actions. But if you asked, I would never ask her, you know, what's wrong? Did he mistreat you or do anything like that? I never said anything like that to her. Because she wouldn't tell me anyway. I don't think they got along too well. I don't think she liked him. It was her stepdad, remember? So she felt as though she didn't have to like him.
She was taken by her Aunt Virginia to live in Harlem, but Ella had changed. She dropped out of school and hit the streets.
She'd run into other kids, the young ones out there in the street. She probably was running numbers for people who would just use the kids to go and do something, and she just delivering something. And actually, it was running numbers, but she didn't realize that that was, I think, illegal. And if she did, you know, she had to live.
The police caught up with her. She was taken into custody, perhaps as a truant or as a child in need of supervision. And she ended up in this place up the Hudson River with a very harsh and really punitive regime. These girls were routinely beaten by male staff.
Ella escaped from the reformatory. She was 15 years old and alone on the streets of Harlem during the worst economic depression in American history.
They're a sad day. They're a bad day.
Never cried in her beer about circumstances because it wasn't going to make things different. It wasn't going to change what was. And so the best she could do was to pick up from there and go on.
I'm going to make something of myself someday. That's exactly what she used to say, and she said it quite often. And she did exactly what she said she was going to do. She made something of herself.
Those tips for the strip, for a street shot crowd. They
go down to the Apollo on amateur night, and there were two sisters who were the dancingest sisters in the world, called the Edwards sisters, and they were starring at the Apollo, and they closed the show at the Apollo.
The Edwards sisters.
The Edwards sisters.
Yeah.
And when I saw those ladies dance, I says, no way I'm going out there and try to dance, because they stopped the show.
Mm-hmm.
And when they closed, that was the end of the show, and then the amateur hour came. I was the first one was called. And when I got out there, somebody hollered up in the audience, what is she gonna do?
The Maddest Child walks out on stage, tacky. I mean, out of shape, pigeon-toed, not hair, the coif was not chic, nothing, you know. She was far from chic. So we started booing, you know, like a bunch of rowdy kids we were. You know, boo, get out of here, blah, blah. Anyway, she started singing. She said, if her words say yes and you're wrong in your guess, that's Judy, my Judy. And she had a way of just putting it right in the pocket. And she quieted down this rowdy bunch of people, I swear. When she finished, you could hear a rat piss on cotton.
Look at me. I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree. And I feel like I'm clinging to a cloud. I can't understand. I get misty. Just hold in your hand. Walk my way. And a thousand violins begin to play. Or it may be the sound of your hello. That music I hear.
Webb was in the Apollo Theater, and Bardu Ally, who was directing, he told Chick about me, and he took me up in Chick Webb's dressing room, and he said, listen to this, a girl sings, she can sing. And he said, I don't want any girl singers.
appearance would have had a lot to do with the fact that they wanted somebody extraordinary glamorous where a woman was concerned. And for a while, that was Ella's shortcomings. But when he brought her to the Savoy Ballroom, well, it was a foregone conclusion. She fitted that spot like a glove.
I'll chase the blues away. I'll laugh and sing all day. I've found my lover, someone who'll be true.
Ella's life on the road began in 1936 when Chick Webb went out for a series of one-nighters. For Ella, life on the road would last for the next 58 years.
In search of someone like you.
She said, you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Chick. And of course, he took over the responsibility of her well-being because of her age. And that was why they allowed her to go out on the road with him.
I'd absolutely almost get sick when Count Basie would give us itinerary to go on the road. We'd get to the Harlem Tunnel and almost cry, leaving New York, leaving Harlem. At that time, you know, the South was, it was very segregated. And we used to take pictures of signs for colored only, for whites only, even drinking fountains.
We had a bus, two Lincoln Zephyrs, chauffeur-driven cars. We pulled up to the White Tower, and we couldn't get a hamburger. I mean, we weren't in no jeans and shaggy. We were coming up with that. We couldn't get a hamburger. Up till this day, I can't go to a White Tower. I'm mad with everybody.
Well, I worked with the band when we had to travel through the South, and I went through all those experiences. So I feel great that I have been able to pay those dues, because when you pay them, then you know what it's all about. That's how we become greater, by learning to face these things.
I remember one thing Chick Webb always told me when I first started singing. I wanted to sing a ballad, and he didn't feel that I was prepared to sing a ballad. And without me even realizing it, with the experience as I went along singing with the band, we start doing ballads, and I didn't even realize that I had changed.
I try to think that love's not around, but it's uncomfortably near. And why my angel eyes.
was now the most popular female jazz singer in America, but her days of swinging with Chick Webb were about to end. On January 16th, 1939, after a long struggle with illness, he died. Ella lost her best friend and mentor.
You showed me the way when I was someone in distress, a heart in search of happiness. You showed me the way.
Ella now needed to move forward artistically, but she had no one to guide her. Chick had been a father to her, and without him, she made a serious mistake.
She married a figure around town in New York at the time, and the agency was very furious about that, and they got an annulment, forced her to get an annulment, because he had a reputation of being like what they called in those days a pimp. And pimps, you know, they just use women and they take whatever they can get. But she wanted somebody to be nice to her. But her first marriage was a disaster.
When she went to court, when they were doing the annulment, the judge pointed his finger at Bernie Cornegay and said, you keep, stay away from little girls. And he told Ella, you just keep on singing Tisket a Tasket.
So you met someone, bet you back on your heels. Goody, goody, you met someone, and now you know how it feels. Goody, goody, you gave her your heart too, just as I gave mine to you. And you broke it in little pieces, now how do you do? So you lie awake, just singing a blues all night. Goody, goody, you think that love's a barrel of dynamite. Hooray and hallelujah, you had it coming to ya. Goody, goody for her, goody, goody for me. And I hope you're satisfied, you rest for you.
Ella's career had stalled. She slipped to 13th in the jazz polls and could not find a way to pull herself back up. Still, there were some very bright moments in her recording career.
She did an album with Louis Armstrong, because the two of them sitting down there looking like two old folks. Isn't it horrible? With his socks rolled down. In the big white handkerchief and the trumpet. Oh, come on, Pops, you can do better than that. But the two of them together was just fantastic.
Say, Pops. Oh, Pops, put that horn down and listen. I want to ask you a question.
What's bugging you, baby?
Well, have you ever been in love?
How you sound. I've been in love 4 times. But tell me, can anyone explain the thrill of a kiss? No, no, no.
You know, it never seemed like we were really recording because it came in like it was nothing to it. Just gonna have a ball. And I would always mess up because I'd be so fascinated watching him. And he'd be ducking and cracking and making jokes and you don't know whether you should sing or laugh.
But when you hear the phrase, it's you I adore, then you'll know, yes, you'll know, honey.
And you will find to give love a start. Don't think with your mind, just feel with your heart. Can anyone explain the wonder of love? No, no, no.
Tell me more, baby.
But now that you and I are sharing the sight, we know you can't miss it. Yes, we know.
The era of big swing bands was coming to an end, and a new music arrived. It was called bebop. One of its leaders had a major influence on Ella.
Dizzy got me to stand up with him, and he says, come on and let's riff, or bop, or whatever they want to call it.
You stood there with a lineup of the most extraordinary jazz musicians and simply took the role of another horn.
With the horns, you get a feeling that everybody's together, and we're all for each other. I think that was the greatest education I've had.
The final elements of her style were falling into place. Ella's uncanny ability to imitate instruments brought scat singing to a higher level. Ella found something else in bebop, her second husband. Ella and bassist Ray Brown were married in 1947. She was unable to have children, so they adopted her sister's boy, but both continued their hectic traveling and performing. Ella's career was going well, but someone was about to enter her life who would bring her the kind of wealth and fame she had only dreamed of. Norman Granz had been a jazz concert promoter since the early 1940s. What started as jam sessions grew into the formidable Jazz at the Philharmonic. Granz was bringing the best jazz musicians to huge audiences, but he was also doing something else.
He gave jazz class. He would have it in his contract. If there was any discrimination in a hall, there was no concert. You didn't have to worry about your money. You got paid anyway, but you would go home and go to bed, get up, catch a plane the next morning, and get out of there. He made you feel like that all the bad times that you have had in this business, he made you feel like you have accomplished something in your life.
How long did you used to go out for at a crack? Months and months?
Oh, at that time, we used to be out like 51 weeks a year.
And a different city probably every...
Right, different city every night. Oh. Yeah.
She was a trooper. She would be there. Sometimes the jumps would be rough in between concerts because we were driving a lot of those concerts. Ella used to sing on the bus once in a while, not every day. Once in a while, she'd suddenly just start singing.
Drifting, dreaming, in an azure mood.
She'd bring that bus to a standstill. And this is a bus full of pretty talented guys. And they would almost be like transfixed in their seats. They'd become like statues.
Here in my seclusion, you're a blue illusion. While I'm in this azure interlude, drifting, dreaming.
Norman Granz realized that Ella had the talent to be a major star. He became her personal manager and began to make plans for her future.
What he envisioned for Ella and what he fought for Ella, I think, was to give her the same footing in the show world that people like Peggy Lee, for one, and not to single Peggy out, but places that she played and everything that never before thought of having Ella in. He wanted Ella in there. She was always in the jazz clubs, not that that's derogating jazz, but she could never rise above to the big clubs, you know, where the, as they say, the heavy bread was. She could never get to that at one point, and it took Norman to do it for her.
In 1941, when I started jazz at the Philharmonic, I used many of the musicians from the Chick Webb Orchestra that was then led by Ella Fitzgerald. To show you how bad my taste was, I used everyone in the orchestra but the singer. So now I'd like to correct that and introduce the best singer there is in jazz today, the great Ella Fitzgerald.
Gal who loves to see men suffer, to tease them and thrill them, to torture and kill them. It's her delight, they say. I saw her at the seashore with a great big pan. There was Hannah pouring water on a drowning man. She's hot-hearted Hannah, the sap of the vanity. To tease them and thrill them, to torture and kill them. Traveling through Alaska in your BTT. She's hot-hearted Hannah, the band of the family.
With Ella under his management and recording for his label, Norman decided on a new direction for her. He was convinced that Ella had the right voice and style to record all the major American songwriters, and he began the songbook series.
First, I thought, I said, my gosh, what is Norman doing? He's taking me away from my jazz and going to get rid of me. Or who wants to listen to me singing this? But it was funny. I just gained, so many fans all over the world. And so it was like a new beginning.
Though your face is charming, it's the wrong face. It's not his face, but such a charming face that it's all right with me.
It's the wrong song in the wrong style. Though your smile is lovely, it's the wrong smile. It's not her smile, but such a lovely smile that it's all right with me. You can't know how happy I am that we met. I'm strangely attracted to you. There's someone I'm trying so hard to forget.
Don't you want to forget someone too?
It's the wrong game.
The wrong game.
With the wrong chip.
With the wrong chip.
Though your lips are your tempting, lips. They are the wrong lips. They're not her lips, but they're such tempting lips.
That if someday you're free.
Dear, it's all right.
Well, it's all right.
It's all right.
Yes, it's all right.
It's all right.
The pressure of constant traveling was taking a toll on Ella's health and her marriage. It was a routine that did not encourage close relationships. She and Ray Brown were separated more than they were together. Finally, they divorced.
She was very upset about it, but, you know, she had ideas of doing away with herself. And I says, no, what are you talking about? She says, you have no idea what went through my head when he left. I says,
life goes on. You got to keep going. She says, yeah, I guess we'll have to do that. But she was very upset when he left her.
She really didn't know how to handle it. And as a result, she was really just, we say speaking our minds, but I think she was singing her mind.
Adventurous dream. Oh, what wouldn't I give for someone to take my life and make it seem gay, as they say it ought to be. Why can't I have love like that brought to me?
I always try to think I'm going to be happy. I look at myself and I say, now, Ella, you could lose that weight and you could be just like so-and-so. And then I'll get real self-conscious and I'll get in a bag and I'll just feel sorry for myself, which is wrong.
She hated being overweight. She said, yeah, I was looking at those cute, small little girls out there and look at me. And I said, Ella, I said, listen, you can conquer that. I said, and don't think that it's, you know, you have so many things besides not being thin, you see.
The main thing Ella had was a career that was going straight to the top. She was now one of the most popular entertainers in the world.
Special guest, Ella Fitzgerald.
She appeared on every major television variety show, sometimes with hilarious results.
Three little maids from school are we.